and this edition of Hoopsology. Matt and Justin welcome the Sixers and NBA insider for Fox 102.5 The Gambler out of Philadelphia, Sean Bernard. Sean brings great insight into the positives of the James Harden era with the Sixers, the transformation of Tyrese Maxey, the chemistry of the Philadelphia 76ers under the direction of Nick Nurse, and a lot more. Really enjoyed Sean's insight into the Sixers becoming a title contender this year. Don't want to miss this chat, especially for Philadelphia 76ers fans. And now, Sean Bernard. He is the Sixers / NBA insider for Fox's 102.5 The Gambler out of Philadelphia. We have the pleasure in welcoming Sean Bernard onto Hoopsology. Welcome, Sean.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys for having me. Always good to talk some hoops, and appreciate you guys for giving me the platform, and excited to chop it up with you fellas.
Yeah, and thanks for coming on to the show. We've interviewed mostly all the teams in the NBA, Matt, in terms of journalists, but we haven't had any Sixers reporters or insiders on. So, I mean, we've been chopping at the bit just to talk to you about the Sixers because just since our podcast has been around, we've been that's one of our biggest topics we've discussed. So, my first question to you is kind of about the James Harden trade. And before discussing kind of the after effects of him being traded, can you kind of summarize just his time in Philadelphia in terms of, you know, you cover this team all the time. So you have, I think, a better perspective compared to a lot of these national analysts that are just out for hot takes. What's your opinion of James Harden's time in Philadelphia? Was it as a kind of disaster, as people would say, or are you kind of on the side of things where I've heard, you know, he contributed to Joel Embiid's, you know, just quest for MVP and just, you know, making him a better player? Like, where you kind of fall in terms of his tenure in Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's a weird one to fully characterize. And I think James Harden kind of has the benefit of coming on the back end of the Ben Simmons situation, which I think everyone still views in more negative light than the Harden situation as a whole, which I think is helpful to Harden's overall outlook here. I also think it's weird because when kind of comparing and contrasting it to the Ben Simmons situation, for Ben, it was very specifically like Simmons versus Embiid and Simmons versus the Sixers. For Harden, it was very much James Harden versus Daryl Morey. So there was never this hostility between the team and Harden. Even when he was showing up at training camp and not really participating, he was still professional. He was still handling his business in the right way. So it's not as negative as the Simmons thing. And as far as his tenure on the floor, like, he absolutely was a very valuable part of further unlocking Joel Embiid. The pick and roll, we'd never even really seen Joel Embiid as that style of player until James Harden, and he absolutely optimized him in a way that I wasn't even sure was possible. I don't think Joel Embiid wins MVP without James Harden, and just his ability to get easy baskets in a way Embiid has never gotten this entire career. So I do think it was still a success. I think you can really make the argument that Daryl Morey has now won, like, three different legs of a James Harden trade with this. And I do think that he set them up in a better position for this. So I don't hold the ultimate hostility. I think it was the right move to move on from Simmons to go to Harden. And I think it was obviously the right move to now move on from Harden again. But I think it did increase the Sixers' chance of winning while he was here. And he did help this team. So I don't view it in as negative of light as I think maybe the mainstream media and just national media would regard it.
So can you go over the effect of James Harden on Tyrese Maxey? And then obviously, since Harden has left, we've seen just the emergence of Maxey as, I would say, you know, a all-star candidate so far this season. Why do you think Harden was such a hamper to Tyrese Maxey's game? And why do you think Maxey is thriving now?
Yeah, it's interesting because this year specifically is the first time we've ever seen Tyrese Maxey asked to be a point guard, even dating back to his days in college, that he was still playing kind of a combo guard role next to Emmanuel Quickley at Kentucky. And then when he came to the NBA, there was Ben Simmons there, and he kind of was thrown into the point guard role during the initial Ben Simmons holdout. And then in came James Harden. He slides into an off-ball role. I do think James Harden helped Tyrese Maxey as a scorer in a major way, that we did see his scoring numbers go up, his efficiency numbers go up, especially as a three-point shooter, him climbing into that truly elite tier of shooters as Maxey has been these past couple of years, which is wild to say considering his reputation coming out of college. But as far as like his overall growth, I think Maxey's very much a student of a game and the sponge that wants to take in everything. We see the little intricacies that James Harden's very good at, such as finding a pocket pass. The two-man game between Maxey and Embiid shows a lot of similarities between the two-man game between Harden and Embiid. So I do think Maxey took that in. We also see the step-back three that Maxey's absolutely added to his arsenal. I think Maxey learned a lot just on how to go through decision-making, how to read, and that is a credit for Maxey for truly taking this in, being so locked in and trying to learn from James Harden. And I think he, as much as people want to talk about it stunning his growth, and I've seen that take out there, I think Maxey really benefited from learning behind a guy like James Harden, and now we're seeing that come to full fruition.
Sean, where do you think chemistry is right now in Philadelphia? There was an interview. Bill Simmons had Mike Lombardi on his podcast at the aftermath of last season. I'm sure you remember that, where Lombardi was kind of railing on the front office, essentially. And I'm wondering, you know, now that this James Harden trade has been completed, it seems like things are a little bit different chemistry-wise. Granted, it's early in the season. You're winning, so everyone's going to be more happy when they're winning and in that state. But do you think the ship has been righted? Do you think that there's some internal concerns that are still valid with the Daryl Morey-led front office?
Yeah, I would say the chemistry as far as within the team is the best I've seen it within the Sixers team since I've been covering them, and really since I've even followed them as a fan since before that. That we've seen a lot of turbulent situations, whether it be Jimmy Butler in here, the Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid never seeing eye to eye. There's been a lot of just odd situations that stuck to this franchise. It feels like for the first time, like, the problem that I still could see coming up with the Sixers team is if they lack top-end talent, and that's a conversation to be had, as I think right now they're in the evaluation period of what is this team truly missing. But as far as just, like, the egos, the roles, and how these guys get along, it's as good as I've ever seen it. And I do think that there's an aspect of – I mean, there's been an insane amount of turnover both in the front office and on the court. We're talking about the second-longest tenured Sixer is Furkan Korkmaz right now, and just to think about that after the Joel Embiid era. So it is kind of amazing that there is a little bit of stability right now. We are seeing guys buy into their roles. I think Nick Nurse has done a really good job of building up kind of a tight-knit group of guys. And we just have veterans that are stepping in, guys like Patrick Beverley, that do contribute to a winning environment, are helpful, just role models and veterans on the team, which the Sixers have also lacked at times. So I would consider it the best chemistry that I've seen in several years.
Interesting. Yeah, tell us a little more about Nick Nurse. I mean, it's what is kind of the contrast and the shift in pivoting from Doc Rivers, who's also kind of renowned as sort of a chemistry, like, kind of player-friendly, top-end level coach, like, you bring him that championship roster and – you know, it's been a while, but he has that pedigree to make you a contender. What has the change been in shifting over to Nick Nurse? Where are things different?
So as far as tactically, and a lot of this goes hand in hand with James Harden leaving as well, but there's so much less isolation this year. That last year felt like so much of kind of the my turn, your turn offense with Joel Embiid and James Harden. This year, it's truly team basketball. And for Joel Embiid specifically, he's buying into this team concept. He's grown as a passer in a way that I wasn't sure was possible heading into the year. And to make it easier on him, Embiid's not a guy who's gifted as a playmaker or has these natural instincts. But there's passes to be made for him in a way that there has not been in past years. And to kind of boil the Doc Rivers offense down to its simplest form, essentially the decision that he tried to make defenses make on the offensive end is it's either you leave Joel Embiid one-on-one in coverage, and then he scores on you as he's led the NBA in scoring in the past 2 years, or you bring a double and he kicks to the open three-pointer, and the Sixers were first in the NBA in three-point percentage last year. Now, in a vacuum, that makes absolute sense, but when you do that on a possession and by possession basis, it gets repetitive, it gets predictable, and you can do things to throw that off. So with Nurse, there's just a lot more unpredictability, and Nurse is also not a guy that is afraid to spam the same play if it is working. I've seen them do it with the weak side of pick and roll a couple of times. There's been some actions that he continues to hammer home, but there's just more movement, there's more cutting, there's just more overall just life in the offense as far as different looks, and it's been really refreshing to see as a whole.
So you alluded earlier about the Sixers possibly making an additional move right around maybe the trade deadline. Matt and I were talking off air about, you know, going after Caruso or Zach LaVine, that those names have been bantered about online. What names are attractive to you? And do you think of Caruso and LaVine, are those moves that could improve the Sixers' championship chances?
Yeah, LaVine's definitely an interesting one. He has a ton of ties with the Sixers, that he is a Drew Hanlon guy who works with Joel Embiid. I know that LaVine and Embiid have trained together quite a few times. LaVine's also a New Balance and Clutch Sports guy, which are both ties to Tyrese Maxey. I know they have a commercial together and have hung out at some of those socialite events. So there is a connection there, and there seems to be some sort of mutual interest. I don't think the Sixers ultimately pull the trigger on LaVine. The biggest reason that I see that is Daryl Morey is very committed to this cap space game plan where he wants to put the Sixers in a unique position where, as things are currently constructed, Joel Embiid and Paul Reed are the only players under contract for next year. There's a couple player options and a couple other things that could come into play here. But the bottom line is the Sixers will be the team with the second most cap space in the NBA. They have an MVP caliber player in Joel Embiid, and they have a rising star in Tyrese Maxey, who does have a blank check basically attached to his name, but they did not re-sign him last offseason because of this reason to create this cap space, can bring in a potential max player and then re-sign Maxey and kind of go over it in a little bit of a salary cap way there. So I do think Morey's committed to that. LaVine's got quite a few years left on his contract, already making $40 million, so I don't see him pulling the trigger because of that. The guy that has caught my eye a ton is OG Anunoby. I'm not sure what Toronto's whole game plan is, but when I look at this Sixers team, my greatest concern is still who's going to be the guy that guards Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown when we get to that point in the playoffs, or who is the Giannis stopper on that team. So I kind of shift more towards the defensive side of the ball and would love a wing like OG. Who knows what the Raptors are ultimately up to? I've seen some whispers of Pascal Siakam, who's in a similar contractual situation. So that's more where my brain goes, but it wouldn't shock me if they ultimately don't make a big splash at all and do search for more of kind of a complimentary piece.
So what would please Embiid? We've heard a lot of rumors about, you know, his future in Philadelphia. Do you think he is committed to Philadelphia? No questions asked. Or do you think he's expecting, hey, this roster needs to improve? You know, it's been very tumultuous, as you mentioned before. I mean, obviously the end game, especially with him, is winning the championship. But even then, in my opinion, he would probably be expecting a lot more stability moving forward. So kind of what do you think his expectations are, not only for the roster, but kind of for the organization in the future?
Yeah, the first thing that I want to like note about Joel Embiid is he's an incredibly intelligent human being, both from a basketball standpoint and just like a general IQ. I've always been impressed when talking to him, just like how smart this guy is. And that comes into play here. Is he's very aware of the situations, how the NBA works. I would be very naive to believe this guy's just locked in on being a member of the Philadelphia 76ers for the rest of his career based on the current state of the NBA. But I do think Tyrese Maxey is about as good of a lore as there can be, that there truly is like a little brother, big brother dynamic between Maxey and Embiid. And we're seeing Maxey grow up in front of all of our eyes. I mean, a 50-point game last week. We're seeing him have two games with 10 assists and zero turnovers already this year, the only player in the NBA to record that thus far. Some really impressive stuff in his growth of his play. So I do think Embiid is bought in. And this is probably the best spot the organization has been in, that the ultimate like resolution of the James Harden trade was that it got the James Harden issue out of the hands, stocked the cabinet full of assets. And now you can figure out that Joel Embiid can have a voice in what the player they bring in. And I think he will, that there has been a pretty constant communication between Daryl and Joel Embiid specifically. So I do think he's satisfied right now. I think if they get this one wrong, that this could be the last attempt with Joel Embiid. But for now, I do think he's committed to Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I remember Joel Embiid, you know, kind of gaining popularity as sort of like trolling other players on Twitter and social media and things like that. And to see the growth is pretty cool. I mean, a few years ago when they were eliminated from the playoffs, I believe it was that Toronto series where Kawhi hit that buzzer beater. I mean, seeing him cry, you know, in frustration, just the care that he had, I think is very appealing to the general fan. I want my players to care like he cares. And then also this year, I think you see, you know, there are recent comments. Again, I think this is a Bill Simmons reference again, but I think Doc Rivers was mentioning that Joel wasn't really like a natural leader. But then you see things like he's calling Maxey the franchise now and like really building him up, which I think is a pretty good sign of some growth there. Are you seeing him kind of grow into that role as well? Are there other signs and things that you're seeing that might indicate that?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely have seen him grow as a leader. And I would agree. I don't think he's a natural born leader by any means. I think he's a guy that would rather be having fun, being relaxed, kind of making his jokes. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I don't think necessarily the best player has to be a leader. But you do have to know how to balance that on a roster. And that is bringing in veterans like Patrick Beverley, who has already made his voice heard very much in this locker room. And I think they attempted to do this with PJ Tucker last year, but PJ Tucker is such like a lead by example guy that having some more vocal, just a vocal leader in the locker room is useful. And I also think with Tyrese Maxey that when you look back to past co-stars of Joel Embiid, guys like James Harden or Ben Simmons or Jimmy Butler, that was such like an eye-to-eye kind of comparison as far as player and as a leader, that now with Maxey, like, he is that little brother vibe that Joel's almost kind of forced into the leadership role. And I think that's been beneficial to him too, that he's kind of like, I already have this guy under my wing. We're already going for this. I'm kind of the leader by default. So I do think things have trended in the right direction. And also him having a child has absolutely changed his like worldview as a whole, that I've seen him grow up in a major way since then, which has been very cool to just kind of see. Unlike any player I've ever covered, followed, or just rooted for before, it's amazing to see this guy coming from tweeting at Kim Kardashian from before he even stepped on an NBA floor, all the way to kind of the guy who he is now. So it's been very cool. I'm a huge fan of Joel, my favorite player that I've ever watched play and cover. So it's been tremendous, and I do think he is stepping up into that role.
What would an NBA title mean now in the context of 2023 in the city of Philadelphia? I mean, you guys, of course, have World Series success with the Phillies. You've had Super Bowl success with the Eagles. How big would it be for the 76ers to win a title, especially, you know, with Joel Embiid, who was drafted by that franchise?
Yeah, I think it would mean a ton. And for Joel specifically, like, that is an all-time legacy stamp as far as an athlete in Philadelphia, to be a guy that stuck with it through the highs and lows. And there were plenty of times already that he could have requested out. I mean, this is a guy who literally had a general manager of the team tweeting about him from a burner account, and he did stuck through it. He's a guy who's seen a ridiculous amount of organizational turnover throughout the year. So it would mean quite a bit. And even throughout, like, the different eras of obviously the success the Phillies have had, the Eagles are very good right now, I do think there's something to the process as a whole and seeing this come full circle, that it would mean a ton to all these players, all these fans in the city as a whole, if it does get done in Philadelphia. And I sure hope that's the case.
So can you take us into just the fan base of Philadelphia when it comes to the Sixers? We always like to ask our journalists and insiders about the fan base, because I think you have a better grasp of what fans are feeling watching the Sixers day in, day out, compared to just kind of a national narrative. So can you kind of take us into kind of what is the feelings of Sixers fans in terms of, like, do they feel a lot of the drama from years past that is behind them and that they're optimistic, or is there a little bit of skepticism? Like, what is kind of the feelings among those fan base?
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of skepticism. And I would say just recently is when we're starting to see the fan base get back on board. That this summer, I would probably say, was like the darkest point in Sixers fandom since the process began, that it felt like we hit a dead end, that we'd now tried this with James Harden, that the assets were kind of out of it. It didn't work with Simmons, didn't work with Butler. And I think beyond just the championship, it's the fact that they've been cut off at the second round every year, that except for the lone year, which they were swept by the Celtics in the opening round, which didn't come much better. That was the bubble year there. But I think not seeing any progress, and it would even be different if they had like lost in a conference final or something like that. But I do think with Nick Nurse coming in, with Tyrese Maxey taking this leap, and Tyrese Maxey's absolutely one of the most beloved athletes across the city and probably across the country. It's tough to say a bad word about that guy. So I do think that there is people buying back into this team for the first time in a little bit. And for I would say since this hot start is when I'm starting to sense some optimism among Sixers fans of, okay, this year could be different.
So are you sensing that this might be the year in terms of them winning the championship? I mean, I know that might be a loaded question, but I guess let me ask you a different way. What kind of pitfalls in the playoffs do you expect the Sixers to maybe run into? Are you worried about, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, even though, you know, the Heat, despite the record, they're always a threat. Maybe teams in the Western Conference, do you see kind of a clear linear path towards the NBA Finals this year? Or are you still waiting to see just a little bit more before you kind of get your hopes up?
Yeah, I still think this is the evaluation period of what this team is missing. I would like to see them make some sort of move. And even like as a whole, the Sixers team, we haven't seen it as fully constructed. That Nicholas Batum has been in and out of the lineup with some personal issues, who's incredibly important to this team and going to be very much a glue guy on this roster. Kelly Oubre has not played in a couple games now, dealing with his injury and healing up from the ribs there. He's also been very good when he's been on the floor. So that is a guy, both those guys I expect to be 25 plus minute a game players when everything's said and done on the season. So it's tough to put a full feel on what this team is, but I definitely think like it, you never know how long that Joel Embiid window is going to stay open. That as much as I'm very thankful and grateful for how healthy he's been, it's one fall or one step the wrong way and the whole picture changes. So I am very much strike while the iron's hot. Now is the time to strike. my greatest concern is still probably the Boston Celtics is the team. You can't count out the Heat for sure, but I think getting past the Celtics is the biggest hurdle for the Sixers. And my biggest concern there being, how do you slow down Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? That we've seen perimeter defense be an issue with this team in years past. That's probably my biggest point of concern with this current roster. But for now, it's still evaluate. I like that they have some cards in the deck to deal when the trade deadline gets here, and we'll see what this roster turns out to be.
Yeah, it seems like historically, I mean, the Sixers are in the best spot they've been to have this flexibility. I don't know, maybe in over a decade, all things considered. Do you think there's more of a tendency with Daryl Morey? I mean, I know that in his past history, I've full disclosure, I'm a Rockets fan, so I've seen Daryl Morey's work a little bit. It does seem like, I mean, he's certainly willing to look for the stars and bring them in if they're willing, but also potentially build around that two-star model, which is where I wonder if the assets that you guys acquired will be moved for kind of more of those like 3-and-D guys. I mean, you mentioned Anunoby, who I think is on the wish list of a lot of teams.
Yeah.
But do you think with Morey's history, I mean, that would point more towards, rather than like a 3-star super team format, just like depth around the 2-stars?
Yeah, Morey's definitely a guy who the sparkling product catches his eye, that he does like to make those big time moves, go star hunting. And that does concern me to a certain extent. I do think it brings up kind of a larger discussion about roster construction in the NBA as a whole. I think the days of these super teams are not behind us, because there will be a resurgence somewhere down the line. But I think the way to build a championship contender right now is you do have your 2 stars and then you optimize them with the proper role players around them. And that's really what I would like to see the Sixers team do, is I don't think you need to necessarily take that big swing. I think what the Sixers are missing is like an Aaron Gordon like piece, a guy that does all the little things, adds to a roster. And Aaron Gordon's a guy who I think goes so under the radar as far as how much credit he deserves in that Nuggets run. He's the absolute perfect piece that maximized that team. So that style of player is really what I want the Sixers to get. I think positionally it's a little different for the Sixers team compared to the Nuggets, but they are kind of replicating a little bit of the Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray kind of offense with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey this year. And I've gone on record a couple times that I think it's much more dangerous than the James Harden and Joel Embiid duo, because there's just more that you can do. That the Harden Embiid duo was incredibly elite at what they did, but pretty limited in what the options were for what they did. When you bring in a guy like Maxey, who's flying around off ball, who can catch and shoot, do all these other things, it really just provides some different outlets to the offense. So overall, I agree with you that I think Maxey and Embiid are the guys. You find the three pieces around them that really maximize those two. But there is a part of me deep down that gets worried Morey's going to see the biggest star, the biggest fish in the pond, and go for it. But we will see.
No, 100% I agree with you with Aaron Gordon. I live in Denver, so just seeing him totally under the radar, it's a bummer, because I think the slam dunk contest has kind of haunt him a little bit. He's kind of known for that, but he's a fantastic player. So
for sure.
It's a little bit unfortunate, even though he had that great performance in the dunk contest. Shifting gears, I want to get your thoughts. The in-season tournament's in full swing. We've had plenty of other guests. We've talked about ad nauseum like before it's taken place, but now we're actually in it. I believe the Sixers are 2-1. Kenna, what are your overall impressions of this tournament from like a Sixers perspective? And then just your thoughts as like a fan. Are you a fan of it? Do you think this sucks? Do you like dislike the courts? Like, Kenna, what's your overall impression so far?
Yeah, I like it. I like that the NBA is trying something different. Some of the courts are definitely a little bit too much and a little rough on the eyes, and I get that from a complaint standpoint. But I do like that the NBA is at least thinking outside the box, trying to bring something new. And I think the best moments of the tournament are still to come, that we're going to remember this a little more fondly when we get to the elimination rounds, or there is that the finals in Vegas and everything that goes down there. So I think there's some cool moments coming. But overall, I do think it has cranked up the intensity a little bit, that the vibes of the game do feel a little different than just a normal Tuesday or Friday night matchup. And Sixers so far have had some success. They need to win against the Cavs tomorrow, and then they need the Pacers to lose for them to find a way to advance. But it does seem like the teams are taking it seriously, which I love to see. And yeah, overall, I like that the NBA is trying something different, and I've enjoyed it so far.
Sean, just kind of a simple question. I can't imagine that the cash incentive for the players is really that big of an incentive to compete as much harder as it does seem they are competing compared to starts of other seasons in recent memory. Why is it that you think the intensity is up on this?
I mean, I would hope that these guys all have that natural drive in them that when there is a, whatever kind of competition, I want these guys to be trying to compete for it. And I've also put it out there plenty of times that if any of these players is not motivated by the 500,000 and don't want to accept it, I will happily take it my way if that that is on the table there. So I think even to these guys that make a ton of money, 500 grand is still 500 grand. You can do plenty with that for these guys. So I think that's a part of it, but I do think the bigger picture is these guys want to win. They want to compete. They're athletes, they're competitors for a reason. So the fact that there is this new little wrinkle and new something to win, these guys want their name on that first title.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I don't think there have been for a long time anyway, I think it's been at least over a decade that there's been like an emphasis on bragging rights during the regular season.
Yeah. It's definitely different. And I'm interested to see, like, as I don't think this is going to be a one and done. I think they at least reformat it, tweak some things, and there will be another NBA in-season tournament next year. But I'm curious to see, like, as history starts to be built up for this, like, how much of a difference is there between, like, the in-season tournament champion compared to the NBA championship? And the guys that, like, are there going to be very different lists? Or are these, like, still the best teams winning? So I'm kind of curious how that all gets played out. I like the different group concepts and the way that it's constructed with some teams that you might not play all that often. So I like that the NBA is just trying something different. And while it's not perfect as currently constructed, I've still been pretty happy.
Sean, this has been a fantastic chat. Thank you very much for joining us. Please let our audience know where they can find you on social media, whatever projects you're working on, and then whatever you want our audience to know as well.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. It was awesome chatting up. And yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Sean_Bernard1. You can also check out all my written work on Philly Sports Network. Catch me on the Fox 102.5, The Gambler Airwaves in Philadelphia, which you can also view through the iHeartMedia app, as well as I guess a little bit of everywhere. That PickSwap Media, I found it on YouTube, doing some Sixers Digest content on YouTube as well. So make sure to check all that out. And yeah, I'll be in it for the long haul wherever this Sixer season takes me.
Awesome. Fantastic, Sean. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hoopsology, presented by Balls Life. If you have comments or questions about this episode, please email hoopsologypod@gmail.com. Also, leave us a review on iTunes and follow us on all social media platforms.